Okay, gentlemen, we are continuing to learn Siman Tov Samach Zayin. We're going to be learning today a continuation we discussed yesterday. We encountered yesterday the halachas. If somebody finds in his tavshil, in his food, there is a bit of a kernel which is found in it. We also mentioned the story yesterday of the Nodi Behuda. Similar to that, but not quite like that. We're going to continue now with similar scenarios. Tarnegoiles if yud, which is top of page, iron base. Tarnegoiles, a chicken, mevusheles. You cooked a chicken. All right. Shenimtza bo Pesach chito mevukas. And lo and behold, you cook a chicken, you want to enjoy it on Pesach, and then you see that, oh no, there is a kernel of wheat in that chicken. You cook the chicken and you find in the chicken wheat. And not stamp wheat, but it's wheat which has clearly become chametz already. So now, what are you meant to do? You obviously can't eat it. So what are you meant to do? Mutal emochre niyud, you can sell the entire chicken to the goy. Why can you sell a chicken to the goy? Surely you're selling chametz. You're not allowed to sell chametz to the goy. So why are you allowed to do that? Why are you allowed to sell the chicken with vadai chametz? A kernel was found. Why not to sell that to the goy? So Shulchan Aruch explains, she'en nimkeres yoisa beyoika, it is not sold for an additional expense b'shvil achito shenimtzeres b'soicha. That additional kernel which was inside it doesn't increase the value or the price of that chicken. So if say the chicken is, I don't know, 10, 20 pounds, you can still charge 10, 20 pounds because that expense is for the actual chicken. The kernel of wheat inside it doesn't increase the value of it. So therefore, you're not actually taking money for the chametz, you're taking money for the chicken alone. And that's why it's fine. I think it's an interesting psak. However, the Ramot disagrees. And he says, no, the minhag is not to be lenient. Rather, noigan lisa if I call the minhag is to burn the entire chicken. The Mishtabur points out in the Kotman base that Umdina is Elu in our countries, Umimokim Shiesh Hefsad Mobile Moid, if there is a very great financial loss, Shap, Viskimo Achonim Lokel, the Achonim are fine to be lenient, Kedasa Machabra, the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. So there is leniency even according to the Ramah. So Mehefsad Mobile, but if it's a great financial loss, you can be lenient. Vimnit says Biyom Shmini Shel Pesach. What happens if this kernel of wheat is found on the last day of Pesach? Mutter le'ashoyso adacha Pesach. You're allowed to keep it until after Pesach. So on Shmini Shel Pesach, we're not asking you to burn it. Then you can just wait until after Pesach. This is the halacha of a kernel which is found on Pesach, and this is the halacha of a kernel which is found on Achan Shel Pesach. Why is Achan Shel Pesach different? Why is it that if a kernel of wheat is found on Achroin Shel Pesach, you'd have to just keep it? So the Mishnah in Sif Kotten Mem Dalet explains. Muta la shoysa, mishum dahava, sofek yoim, toif, sofek choil. He said, because we don't know the last day of Pesach, us in Chutz Laaretz, is perhaps Yom Tov, it's a Sofek. Sofek, it's the second day of Yom Tov, which we are machmir, but there is a Sofek in it. Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. Therefore, since it's a Sofek, Sofek Darabonon, V'tarov is Mashu of Darabonon, it's only a little minute amount, so it's a Sofek of a Mashu. Lochein, therefore, Mekilin, we are lenient La Shoysa, we are therefore lenient to keep it Acha Pesach until after Pesach. V'osmutra afilu b'achina, then you can eat it. So, although he brings later more stringent opinions, but he does bring such a tzad that could be that since it's the last day of Pesach, it's a sofek, and it's sofek d'abonon, therefore we are lenient. However, this is only with regards to the last day of Pesach. If a kernel of wheat is found throughout the entire earlier days of Pesach, you've got to be stringent. According to the Ramah, you've got to burn it. Okay, Sifud Aleph. What happens in the following case? Imnim says chito bekur be'isa. We're finding now a wheat kernel Not in a chicken, and not in a dish, but in dough. Pe'isa, in dough. Quite unfortunate. You found in dough, some sort of dough, you found chito abakua, a chito which is swollen already, has become chametz. Or be matzah for you, or even worse, you're about to consume your matzah, and in the matzah you find, quite tragic, in the matzah you find chametz. So what are you meant to do? Yosim emeno, you should crack it off, take it away. Kedei netilas mokem, a couple of centimeters. They kedei netilas mokem, enough of kedei netilas that surrounding the area surrounding the chametz. Ve'ashah muta, and the rest is permitted. V'yesh mi she'oyseh, some are more stringent. Kol ha'isa, and they forbid the entire dough. Oy, some matzah, the entire matzah. V'roi lochush l'dvorum, it is quite appropriate to be stringent and to forbid the entire matzah, the entire dough. Im lov mokam hefsel meruba, unless there's a hefsel meruba. Hoy b'shas v'chak, or in extreme circumstances where he could eat the rest of the matzah or the dough. Says the Ramah, v'chein noeg into eich ha-Pesach, and that's certainly the minig on Pesach. Lesoy oy some matzah, we actually forbid the minig, is to forbid the entire matzah. If you're finding some chometz in the matzah, imagine that. You're about to eat the matzah and you find chometz in the matzah. So you've got to, the minig is to remove the entire, to get rid of the entire matzah. What about the others? And that's an interesting shayla now. What about the other matzah? So I found a kernel of vadai chometz in my matzah. So this, the minig is to be stringent. Get rid of the entire matzah. What about the other matzahs? Might be on the same batch, of the same box. The neighboring matzahs, what are you going to do with them? We're talking about chometz over here. Vadei chometz. So the Ramah Paskin's top of page 144. We allow all the other matzahs. Bein shenim tzaba, fuyo ichayo. And whether it was baked or whether it was raw, the dough was raw, we allow all the remaining parts of matzahs. Why? We say, kan nimtzeis kan hoysa. Whenever we find a kernel, we could really, in theory, be worried and concerned that perhaps this kernel moved. Do you know, especially when it's dough, it moves around. So it could be that just because there's a kernel of wheat over here, it doesn't mean it was static over here. It may have been moving around. So how can I just be assured and say, okay, this matzah I'm getting rid of because that's where the kernel was? Well, perhaps 5 minutes ago, that very kernel was in the dough, which actually now is a different matzah. And it might be part of something else. Remember, this was a kernel of vadai chometz which was found in dough or in a matzah. Perhaps 5 minutes ago, this very kernel wasn't exactly here. It might have been elsewhere, which ended up being a different matzah, or may have ended up being a different area of the dough, and then everything else, the other parts should also be also. How can I be so confident and reassured that the kernel has been static over here? So the Ramah teaches us now a sight and a rule, and he says, "Kanim says kan hoysa." I don't have to assume that things have been moving around. If it is here now, I can assume that it was here before. I don't have to assume that it moved and it only ended up over here. There's kind of a chazaka that things are remaining where they are. At least retroactively, I can assume that it was here, and I don't have to assume it moved around so much to forbid all the other doughs. Kanim says kan hoysa. It is here now. I assume it was here before. But if it's in a collective dough, one piece of dough which hasn't been separated, I will then, and I find the kernel there, I'm going to forbid that entire dough, but I'm not going to assume that other doughs had that kernel before. That dough where it's found, what I'm going to get rid of. V'davka toicha Pesach, that's only on Pesach. Aval kodim ha-Pesach enoisin, ha-kedin etzile v'ochinog, and as we've spoken about earlier, when it comes to, this is all with regards to, before Pesach, but on when it comes to before Pesach, we've spoken about that if something is found on Pesach, we only need to separate kedei netila, only the couple of centimeters, and the remains is mutzah because he only goes kedei netila. He doesn't spread further than that. We have discussed that previously. That halacha is that when it's tzli, when it's something which is goes through without liquid, then it only asks kedei netila. It doesn't spread further than that if it isn't oily. And obviously, we're talking about if it's something which is not oily, so therefore it doesn't spread further than kedei netila. Okay. Now, Sifyut base. Let's give a start to Sifyut base. In Molgu, it's talking about Meliga. What's Meliga? Meliga is, as the brackets explain over here, in Molgu, you've got a chicken. You've got to remove the feathers of the chicken. What's the best way to remove the feathers of a chicken? Has anybody ever tried to remove the feathers of a chicken? How do you do that? That's it. You boil it first. That's the way to do it. You pour hot water in it. Absolutely. You've done it. You've seen it. You've done it.
My grandmother, she did it.
Really? That's amazing.
What wasn't done from the butcher? She poured hot
water. Where was that?
What do you mean?
Where? She, your grandmother was in England?
Yeah, she was born in Germany, but she got the English butcher. She wasn't feathers under the wings. I remember she put hot water on.
There you go. She kashered it herself.
No, it's all kashered. Just a few left feathers under the wings.
Right. Okay. So that's the way to do it. You pour hot water, and then you put boiling hot water, and that's the way you get rid of the feathers. Now, what happens if you pour, that was done, every chicken had to be, you pour boiling hot water over it. Now what happens if you pour boiling hot water over the chicken, and then you find in the water, you find some kernels of chametz. Now, you know, chickens tend to be full of grain. So now you've got a problem over here, because even the water you're finding, kernels of chametz, what does that mean with regards to the chicken? In the water you're finding kernels of chametz, what does that mean with regards to the chicken? So that's a serious issue. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch is going to investigate now. In Molgu, if you did this Meliga, which is the pouring of hot water, Shetichu b'mayim lahavir anoitzot, to get rid of and remove the feathers, Tanegoyles, the chicken, ve'achakach, and afterwards, Motzu b'mayim, you find in the water, Garin, a kernel of chit of wheat, Bekor, which is swollen, and has therefore become genuine chametz, Asura Tanegoyles, the entire chicken becomes also. Again, you're pouring out water to remove the feathers, and you're finding in the water, you're finding a kernel of chametz, which has become chametz. So we assume that it must have come from the chicken, and therefore we're going to forbid the entire chicken. Asura tanegoyles. As the Mishnah Berurah explains in Sifkot Nun Gimel, Asura Tanegoyl is Damrinam, because we say Shema, perhaps Hoysu Achita B'Mayim B'Shas Melike, because we have to assume that the kernel of wheat was in the water when he did the Melike, and therefore we have to answer it. However, the good news is, אם נמצא שחיתו בקוע או לחם חומץ בכלי של מים ואין בו כדי לתן טעם, but if it is found and it hasn't got, it is not enough, we bottle b'shishim, then all the water is cold, where it couldn't have made the chicken chometz thick, then the halach is, then it's fine. But we've got to address one particular question. This seems to be an open contradiction to the earlier sif. Let's get this clear. You poured water over the chicken, and you're finding a kernel in the water. That's where you're finding the kernel. This seems to be a blatant contradiction to earlier halacha, which we just learned earlier. What did we say with regards to the kernel found in dough. We are not forbidding all the other matzahs, all the other doughs. Why not? Because we are saying, we have to assume that it's here, and it was here. We don't assume that it moved around. Well, if we don't assume that things moved around, surely we could argue that if you're finding the kernel of chametz in the water after pouring the chicken, you can assume, you should say that, well, the kernel is in the water, and it was in the water. So maybe it didn't come from the chicken. So it didn't touch the chicken. All we have is the kernel of the water here. So maybe you should say, kam nim says kam noisa. And it's fine. But of course, this is not a good question. As the Mishnah Berurah says, we don't say kam nim says kam noisa because, let me just read the words. Since it's all considered the same water in one place, we don't say kam nimtzes kan oisa when it's edel inyan mokem le mokem chaticha le chaticha. We don't say that one kernel is moving from one place to another part of the dough or another matzah. That we wouldn't say. Aber mokem echod, one place it was in the water and it just moved together with the water now elsewhere. Then we're going to say that it is considered static and it's in the same place, and therefore it makes sense to assume that it comes from the chicken, and therefore we have to forbid the chicken. If we find in the water, after doing the meliga, after putting the water, we find kernel of wheat in there, we have to assume that actually the chicken has become also. Okay, good. That's it for this evening.